something wrong with your tea?
It is tea. I detest this stuff.
Tea? Tea?
I detest this stuff.
Tea? Tea?
I detest this stuff.
Tea? Tea?
I detest this stuff.
Tea? Tea? Something wrong with your tea? Tea?
I detest this stuff.
Valentine's Day, Saria.
Yay!
It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Hope you all have watched my previous Valentine's Day video that is also launched today. But as well as that, on top of that dwarven love for Scout Harding, we also have a little podcast for y'all.
What are we talking about?
Exactly, I wonder what in particular. But I figured, you know, this Valentine's Day, I mean, I love talking about romance, I love delving into many just videos for that, and I can't wait for the future when we actually learn a bit more about that. But I figured for this Valentine's Day of 2019, let's just do as many romance-centric, you know, videos as I can, because literally, there's no better time for it, really. There's no better day for doing romance vids, for doing romance as a whole, because obviously Valentine's Day is just the best kind of day for that. So yeah, guys, I hope you all are spending your Valentine's Days digitally or physically with people you love. If not, well, you're listening to us, and we
accept.
We're going to talk a lot about characters that we digitally love as well. So
join
the party, and we accept all the digital loves. But no, for today, we are tinfoiling is a really underwhelming phrase for it. We are just speculating towards, you know, what we'd like in terms of romance for Dragon Age 4. Like I said in my Scott Harding video, we're looking at what we particularly like. So it's tinfoiling in an aspect of, you know, we're looking towards the future, but it's very minimal tinfoil. We've only got, like, you know, tinfoil wrapped around our foot, not on our head, you know. We're not actually covered in tinfoil for today.
We've got the socks on.
We've got the socks on, just not the entire, the full outfit. But, we'll be answering a lot of questions, just romance. Romancing out, guys. It's Valentine's Day, and there are some occasions when the tinfoil tea party is just going to be a party with little bits of tinfoil on there. So, yeah, we're just going to be establishing what me and Saria, first of all, like in terms of romance. Then we're going to delve into what you'd like for Dragon Age 4. Quite a bit of fun for today. But hey, Saria, let's just crack into this. So, in terms of what me and Saria already have an understanding of romance, in terms of what we already can expect from BioWare, I guess we should say what we already, or who we already romance in previous BioWare games. So I know you're really all about that Solas.
It is my favorite BioWare romance so far.
Is it your first BioWare romance?
That's the thing, like, I don't really know, since, like, if you consider Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah,
so technically, because I come from Skyrim, right?
Yeah.
Skyrim romance was, like, the one thing that was inspired by Neverwinter Nights.
And it was
Bishop, basically. Yeah, so I think that would be my first,
that was your first
experience, because it was written the same way.
Yeah.
It
was basically copied from the BioWare.
Yeah, it was basically copied, at least the personality of the character and
of
stuff.
Bishop.
And then, you know, the only thing that changed was a romance, I believe. But
oh, wow.
I just can't remember if it is or not. I don't know Neverwinter Nights right now. Yeah, so I think an official BioWare game, yes, it would be Solas, but it wasn't, like, really fully, because I didn't really understand the choice consequences that well.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do with Colin, obviously, because it was just, like, either Alistair or Colin. I was like, Alistair, oh, they're so cute. And then I saw Solas, and I was like...
Egg.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into that, tell me about Bishop. What was Bishop like?
Ooh. Yeah, so Bishop, I guess, was kind of very, like, charming and kind of, I don't even know how to describe it. Very dominant, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's just more of, like, immersed. It was very well written.
Okay.
In the lore. And then I saw somebody, oh, yeah, this actually character just came from, all the characters from the Skyrim romance basically came from Neverwinter Nights. And some of the dialogue is exactly the same. And I know the mod creator actually credited a lot of it to that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Obviously, now I figured out that's from BioWare. But yeah, I mean, it was just, like, really interesting. I was like, huh. But yeah, Bishop in general is, I don't know, like, I can't really describe it, that Does romance. He... That romance is definitely, like, there's a lot of angst in it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. That's,
like,
BioWare-y.
He doesn't feel like he deserves you. And then he's like, you know what? I'm not that type that gives you, like, flowers or poetry. I just want to tell you that I really like you and love you and stuff. And then, obviously, nowadays, the mod's kind of very weird now. So I like the beta version of it, but not what's now. So if you look it up, don't get the other version, I guess.
Does he feel like a BioWare character in that regard?
Yeah, I think it well
flushed out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, and that's interesting how you put that way. Because, yeah, because, like, I never even think of it that way. But that's what got me to BioWare easily, like, clicked onto it.
Yeah, you're hooked onto BioWare.
Yeah, because I wanted the romance in Skyrim. And what's the
extent of marriage.
Amulet
I'm not a Marer. I'm interested in you. Let's marry after I got a...
marry Serana. Why? So, yeah, I mean...
I know. No, I got the mod for Serana. Finally, I can marry her.
Yeah, but that's the extent of it, right? It's not even that much. So to have an actual story built into it.
You want the integral storyline there. You want it to be, and that's what loads of Skyrim mods do. But well, the marriage quests, it's only, like...
What just took a companion mod and then a couple other NPCs. And it was really nice because, like, there was at least... I mean, obviously, it was kind of weird because some, like, every place you went, there was people hitting on you. So it's kind of weird. I don't like the catcalling as much. But, yeah, I just feel like that maybe you just have the NPC next time. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was really nice. I thought, oh, I have a romance in Skyrim. I want a game that has romance. And they got me into BioWare.
You got into BioWare. That's awesome. Yeah, so you...
Yeah.
Kind of stemmed from BioWare by the, not mainly by it, but a lot of it was the character-driven, romance-centric kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was craving in Skyrim.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, basically, you know, when you go into Elder Scrolls games, the immersiveness of at least the open world and the atmosphere that it took was, like, amazing. And then, yeah, some of the story was great, but that wasn't, like, what got me into it. Except Oblivion was pretty good, but in Skyrim, it's just like, yeah, everybody, you don't want to do the main quest until, like, years later, right? But
Yeah.
It was all about, just immersing yourself into
that, to that world and just,
But, I mean, honestly, that was a taste of what I got for Dragon Age.
That's games, really cool.
I guess.
That's a cool break-in story, honestly. I like that. Well, really good idea to talk about Valentine's Day, because obviously about romance, that's a really interesting, and how you broke into, obviously, Dragon Age by Skyrim mods.
But, I know, right? That's interesting.
It's really intricate.
I guess, yeah.
And so from Bishop, you went on to then obviously romancing Solas in Inquisition.
And, So
officially he is your... Was it Colin first?
So with Origins, there's Alistair.
Yeah.
And I remember watching like some videos about like Origins, and Alistair obviously was highlighted because he's one of the best characters in Origins.
My fave, my boy.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh, I want to romance him. And then I was like, wait, I get Inquisition though. I'd rather just start playing that one. I remember they're like, oh yeah, Colin is like... If you like Alistair, then you might like Colin. That's what I saw. And so I was like, okay, I'll try Colin then. I had some rumors when it first came out of like Solas being not good, but I didn't really understand what it meant by that. It was I didn't want to see spoilers of it when it first came out because I was like, I don't like Dragon Age at the moment, but like I don't want spoilers of it. Because there's like a lot of memes and stuff, and I was like, I don't want to look at that.
Yeah.
Because obviously he talks a lot about that. But yeah, so it was just a mix of like, Colin had sex in it, but Solas didn't, and people were pissed off about it, but then they realized who Solas was, and I was like, oh, as a person that doesn't really want to watch sex, especially with like, with the Origins scenes, really awkward.
Yeah.
So like, for me, I picked Solas because I was like, well, I heard he doesn't have that, and then he's also really cool and charismatic, and so... Obviously, I got stuck in that hill.
Yeah, you got stuck into that level.
Probably worse than a sex scene, but if you think about it.
I should just have the sex.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. But no, I actually thoroughly think it's the best because I've done all the other...
You don't know the others and they're awful.
Dragon Age games, and they're not awful. It's just very, like... I don't know.
You don't feel like they're well fleshed out?
They are well fleshed out.
Or is it just the fact that Soul of Island is so well done that nothing can compete with it?
Yeah. At least now. My heart's opened, right? Alistair I liked a lot. Zevran I liked.
Fenris.
Anders is okay, but it's meh. And then Blackwall. Cassandra I liked.
Blackwall.
Please. Nah.
So, regarding Dragon Age 4, you wanting to jump back onto Solas?
If we have the Inquisitor.
You want Soul of Island to end?
A new day for protagonist. No.
Figures they're pregnant then.
Protagonist.
Llewellyn's pregnant. And she's going to have a puppy. Solas, come back.
No.
Please.
No.
I have your pupper in my stomach. Do you think Soul of Island could end in like a duo death with Solas and Llewellyn?
Oh. Apparently Weeks is going to have something very heart-wrenching for the Soul of Island's. Because somebody tweeted that they want it solved, or like had this photo or something. I can't quote it. I bet a lot of people have seen it already though. Of like, he's like, okay, this is the one tweet that I'm going to make sure that Soul of Ellen or the resolve part of it is going to be very hurtful. And I was like, wow, thanks.
Well, then you should just go with the intrigue of killing him then, as opposed to redeeming him, if you already know it's going to be tragic.
I know, but you don't romance him when you're killing him. So it's like, I'd rather be like somebody who's romanced somebody else and has a reason. Like Maitre Vaughn marries Colin, like has a reason to keep Thetis alive, right?
Yeah, you have a reason to go for it. Because she wants to
live on and have a legacy of family, right?
Yeah, so, she wants to have a...
Exactly,
yeah.
So...
Look after the Mabari Warhound.
Yeah, of course, I want to disband the Inquisition.
Save that Mabari.
Or actually, I'd keep it. It depends, really.
Well, that's from my Trevelyan standpoint, I'm keeping the Inquisition and I'm going to go to be killing the Dread Wolf or Solas, whatever you want to call him. And I'm staying with Josephine. So, like, that's my Inquisitor story.
Reason, yeah.
Save the Inquisition and, you know, save at all costs because he wants to save his beloved. He wants to save the world. So, yeah, he will be killing Solas, and hopefully.
And he lost that arm.
Yeah, he lost that arm as well. So, you know, he's got that intrigue. But as a Llewellyn, it's like, well, let's just draw the world together. Let's have kind of a fight club
but
moment.
But the thing is just that even if you're... Well, you are an elf for Solas.
Yeah.
He wants to save the elven people. And, like, you would think, as an elf, why wouldn't you want that? Like, you've basically been second-class citizens. Like, why wouldn't you want that? But he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, I got to destroy this world.
You figured he'd
and
let you
would
jump
think
on
that,
it.
Like, Llewellyn would jump on that. Because, like, yeah, but this world is, like, made us second-class citizens. Let's just destroy the world.
Yeah.
But I think it realizes that, does everybody have to die? I mean, yeah. I do talk about that a little bit. There's a magic called entropy that all things must end and then renew. So, yeah. Like, is that what he's trying to do? Is he trying to end things and then renew?
Unless he's just trying to go back in time.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Because if he goes back in time, he doesn't even need to think about Llewellyn ever again. Because Llewellyn won't
be
in
that
situation.
Well, he never
forgets her. Yeah. But in terms of, like, he doesn't need to think about saving her or her getting involved in a situation in the future because it goes back in time and she didn't exist in the first place.
Yeah, that's just not fair, though.
Yeah, well,
that's not fair. I didn't sign up for that.
It doesn't have to be fair. It's Solas. It's Solas. He is the entire embodiment of unfair and trickery. So he could be going back in time to just stop everything happening and completely, you know, stop Mephal's death, stop the Vale's creation in the first place. Or he could figure something else out. Like, he's just like, you know what, Llewellyn, you can't come on this journey. You just can't. Even if you're an elf, you just can't. Kind of heartbreaking to think about it.
Yeah.
You took a long pause.
I did, because I'm just like thinking about, like, wow. It's not going to end well, is it?
It's not. Nope.
It doesn't seem like it would be a good resolution.
What do we call him? We call him Dreadwolf, Orb-taker, Heartbreaker. Orb-breaker, Heart-taker? Well, he didn't really break the orb, but you get what I mean. Gotta crack the egg.
He did break the orb because he gave it to Corypheus.
Yeah, exactly, there you go.
He asked for it.
Orb-breaker, Heart-taker. I'm cracking the egg for DFO. Just saying. So regarding my initial bio experience of experiencing romance, I need to think way back because, whoa. I played Mass Effect not with the intention of romance, but with the intention of expecting a good RPG.
Yeah.
But my friend told me about romance when I was like 11 years old, and he was like, oh, you see Miranda? I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, you see her in her bra? And I was like, what?
Psst.
And
you
literally,
see her
literally,
in a bra?
And I was like, how do I get that scene? And he's like, you have to talk to her after every single mission. And I'm like,
oh my goodness.
Mass Effect 2 came out in 2010.
Bra so simulator.
10 years younger than me now. So I'm like 11. Yeah, I'm 11 or 10. I'm 11 or 10.
What?
And literally, it was like that. Yeah.
You were 10.
Yeah. Legit. Yeah. I was 10. Yeah, I played Skyrim when I was 11.
And Miranda's like way older than you.
Yeah, but I'm playing a shepherd, so it's fine. Anyway, so my friend got me into Mass Effect.
Still.
And, like, he would roleplay about the characters and he would tell me all about the story and how amazing it was. And that's how I got into Mass Effect 2 because I initially bought it. And I was like, okay, I'll buy this game. I'll get it. I wasn't playing it with the intention of romancing. I played the demo on Xbox and I was like, wait, you can create a character. You can choose a power system. You can have these amazing characters and dialogue. I was like, what the heck is this? I need to play this game.
Yeah.
And obviously, went on to be the legendary best game I've created since. Masterpiece is Mass Effect 2. And it was the first RPG that I've really ever delved into. That's why it's still the best game. Because it's like my first RPG, you know. It's the first time I'm experiencing a character customization. I'm experiencing all that. Yeah, I went into this thinking, okay, there are some characters that you can romance. Look at that weird frog dude that you can romance. What the hell is his deal? That's Finn. Beloved character that I adore now. And I completely disregard myself of even thinking that thought. But yeah, I remember being like, so this game has relationships. That's really cool, but weird. But hey, I want to really invest in it. So I remember I loaded up my Mass Effect 2 save after playing it completely. And I was like, wait, why didn't I romance Miranda? So I was like, oh yeah, if I go talk to her, then I'll romance her. And I talked to her at the end of the mission. I'm like, oh crap, you need to talk to her after every single mission. What? I think from then on, my first experience of romance was actually with Ashley in Mass Effect 1, which is a kind of a weird way of getting into romance. The best thing about Mass Effect is you continually play as the same protagonist throughout the games. And yeah. That means that the romance acts can develop in compelling and beautiful ways that Dragon Age does not do.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, as an example, you romance Ashley in Mass Effect 1, then it's long distance in Mass Effect 2. It's kind of like it's actually a breaking up because you die. So she thinks you're dead for 2 years when actually you're alive and then you see her at one point. So it's kind of like a break-off period. And then in Mass Effect 3, you come back together, and then it can be, you know, it's all those feelings from the first game, the second game, and the third game that are combined and amalgamated together, and it creates a better romance. Better example is probably Liara, because everyone loves Liara, and she's actually more consistently within each game. Mass Effect 1, she's huge. She clairvoyantly connects to Shepard, and she really has this huge role of actually being inside your head. And then Mass Effect 2, you have a huge DLC with her. And then in 3, she comes back massively, as obviously as a companion again. And that, you just see the layers of romance that they combine, and it's actually amazing of how they really cultivate a romance over a period of games. And that's why, for me, Dragon Age is just a tiny bit of a letdown, because I don't think you've ever been able to continue, obviously you haven't, of being able to continue a romance in each game. Yes, you've been able to romance Isabella in Origins and 2 as different protagonists, Grey Worden and obviously Hawk. But you can't actually see those romances really overarch in a way that Mass Effect does. And that's for me why Mass Effect in its own regard has better storytelling. It just utilizes itself in a better way. Of course, much different to Dragon Age, which I have much respect, but that's what makes Mass Effect's romances special. They overarch into the games and you have so much time to spend with them. So Ashley was my initial experience of, okay, that's romance in Mass Effect 1. It's a 12 game. You don't really see anything. It was an interesting romance. I liked Ashley as a character. I still do like Ashley as a character. It was interesting. You know, I liked what I had and it was better than Liara, but it was interesting to see. And then into Mass Effect 2, obviously, Miranda. Miranda is my favourite Bioware character. I mean, obviously, I've had that impression since I've been like 10. Not just for obvious reasons. I really do enjoy her development as a character. Patrick Weeks did write her after all. So actually, Weeks has wrote two of our favourite characters.
Yay.
Our romanceable characters. And so, my experience of obviously romancing, really enjoying, really, as you say, falling in love with a character, as you so do with Solace, not in terms of like obviously realistically, but just in terms of really endearing that character,
yeah.
Speaking to them, having that just that connection with them that obviously affects you in real life, where you get sad when bad things happen, or you really care about that character, or, you know. I really have that hugely with Miranda. You know, I really enjoyed learning about her character. She was built to be this perfect person, but actually she's imperfect. You see her cry in Mass Effect 2, and it's just, I really had heartfelt emotions for her. I really corresponded with her. And then in Mass Effect 3, you have this long distance relationship. But when you get to the Citadel DLC, I remember one scene where you actually, I didn't play the game at that point because I had to wait for my birthday, because of course I'm young. I have to wait for my parents to know things. I saw that she could die online, and I actually was incredibly upset. I was incredibly upset. And I was like, oh no. Aww. I need to know. I haven't played the game, but I need to know right now if I can save her. Fortunately, you can. But I remember just really caring about this character so much to the point where, you know, I was just really just emotionally involved with it. I was like, oh my goodness, I really care about this character. And then just the experience of it, of the romance in Citadel DLC as well, where by the way, just know how to overarch their games and their DLCs just to really just forward a narrative and make it incredible, you know. So I would say Ashley is my initial impression of romance, and I really like that. But Miranda is really where I really got invested into the character, where I was in the romance myself, where I could place myself in that and I could identify with it, I guess. I really just enjoyed that aspect. I love that aspect, and you know, that's why it's sad for me that Mass Effect is discontinued, because I'm like, I want to get more of that universe. I want to get more of those characters. They did end it well in Citadel DLC. You got plenty of time to spend with those characters one final time. I just encourage that you play the Mass Effect trilogy, but it was a really good send off, and you know, I really love those characters and what they did and how they handle romance, because it's different to Dragon Age, and in some ways it's better. But I honestly like,
it's a series versus
An anthological franchise.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why a lot of Solas and the relationship with Velen may not be as sorted as people want it to be, because you're playing as a new protagonist, you know.
Yeah, that's what makes me like a little
old. Yeah. Because you're going to see it be have some repercussions, because that's what's confirmed, because obviously that makes sense. but you're not going to be able to play it out. You're not going to be able to really experience it as Llewellyn. You're experiencing it as a side perspective. And even though Llewellyn might be there, it's not going to be as if you're playing as her again. It's not going to...
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, how does romance work in Mass Effect, then? If it's a series? Because I haven't really played them very well, but, like, how can you diversify romance? Because, like, the thing about...
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
The thing about Mass Effect, I guess, is that you get the same companions, right?
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of the same companions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, people are excited. Oh, fresh new characters.
Yes, yeah.
A fresh new perspective, and you get to fight a different order, or you get to be part of a different order. And
yeah.
Granted, we might not be, like, a chosen one, obviously, because we've been so many of those.
Yeah, hopefully not. Yeah, please not.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can top being, you know...
The highest force of, in, like, Southern Ferelden.
Southern Ferelden. I feel like it was, as I played DA2, hinted that they might have tried to start a trilogy...
With Hawk. Definitely.
And I know there were some lingering conspiracies about that as well. And I kind of believe it because they were looking for Hawk. First, I mean, technically from Cassandra, they're looking for the hero for Ferelden, which... I mean, if Gator doesn't want the hero for Ferelden, I feel like that was a little retcon there, because, like, they're just kind of pulling a little strings together to make everything tie together. Oh, they wanted the hero for Ferelden, then they looked for the Hawk,
and then they found the
Inquisitor. Yeah. Okay, but the Inquisitor is here, and we basically didn't do much.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, technically we didn't do that. It's the thing, it's just like, a series is cool. Like, I would like that.
You'd like that, yeah. 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 Because the thing is, it brings the plot more closure. It's more tied together. Mass Effect was written as a trilogy, and you can see it. First game, you understand, you know, the characters, the consequences of what is going to happen. There's so much foreshadowing of this prophecy that's going to foretell the future. Second game, you take a bit of a detour, but you recruit a team. You recruit a team that's going to follow you up for the franchise, and you defeat a side mission. Mass Effect 2 is where you recruit a team. Mass Effect 1, you have very basic companions. You have a small team. Mass Effect 2, half the game is recruiting a team.
So you get different companions.
You get new companions in Mass Effect 2, yeah.
See, why can't they do that?
And then Mass Effect 3 is when all those things from the first game and second foreshadowing come to life. Everything comes at once, and it's crazy.
And you have different companions in that one.
You, like, have one... You have... Two but new
all
companions.
The characters are together
all,
this
all
time.
All the characters are together in Mass Effect 3. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Like, we should have that.
But literally every romance you've done coincides in Mass Effect 3. So from 1 and 2, the romances come together. So all the characters come back, but not all the companions come back.
So if you romance somebody else or something.
You could do that, yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you romance, like, what?
So you can romance Ashley, Miranda, and then go back to Ashley.
Would that affect anything?
Miranda would just not be in a relationship anymore. You can literally say to her it was like a fling.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't do that. I think it's just to make it look different. Like, oh yeah, we have a different... No, this one's not a series.
Probably because Dragon Age is about the Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Whereas Mass Effect is about the Reaper War and playing as Commander Shepard and experiencing this war and ending the war. Whereas Dragon Age is about the Dragon Age, so it's showing you, you know, the Fifth Blight, the uprising in Kirkwall, building the Inquisition of the Faithful against the Mages of the Templars and then Corypheus, and now obviously the Dread Wolf Rising. And then wherever that's going to go, to probably the end of the Dragon Age with Morrigan being the Inheritor, wherever that's going to go. So that's most likely why, but they could have done about one character, because Shepard is about ending the Reaper War, which is huge. But yeah, they're just written in a different way.
Dang. At least we have, like, favorite romance characters and we understand about how we're connected with them, but it's like, how are we going to be continued connected with them
That's
when it
the
ends?
Thing, yeah. For Dragon Age 4.
Do we find
4.
New ones, or do we just, like, yep, yeah, like, I just, what is the future going to hold? Like, are we just going to still be like, well, I still like Solas, or like, I still like Miranda because they were...
Yeah, and the thing about Inquisition...
That might be it.
That, I don't want to sound pretentious when I say this, because I know a lot of people will probably maybe take this the wrong way, but as a hardcore Dragon Age player, Inquisition was a great point for new players to get into the game, because it had a lot of new characters, a lot of new things. And for me, that was a tiny bit off-putting, because Inquisition had so many new characters and new things going on that an OG player like myself, I was like, yeah, but I want to see these old things return. I want to see a lot of old things come back. Like, I wanted to at least see, you know. So, for like, that's the thing about Dragon Age, where for me, I don't like it when they just put all new things in, because I want some of the old stuff too. I want, you know, some of the roots of Dragon Age. And like what Mass Effect does, where you at least hear about these characters, like Liara in Mass Effect 2, or you hear about Ashley. But in Dragon Age, they kind of just cut the cord on that, and you just give a new every single thing, and it's like, oh, I really just wanted to see that one character come back, or, you know. And that's the thing about Inquisition, is literally, like, how many returning characters are there as companions?
Yeah, but it's also interesting, because, like, now that they think about that, some characters return, and then some don't. And it's like, does that have to just do with, like, their own personality, that they had something else to do in that age? Yeah. Like, for instance, Morgan not even showing herself in with Hawk.
Yeah.
Which I thought, like, okay, that would have been easy to kind of introduce, so with, like, maybe Flemeth or something.
Tiny bit, yeah.
But they didn't. And then I was like, okay, well, I mean, I guess, because it's Kirkwall, but why?
Yeah.
Because she's back in Inquisition in Orlais the whole time.
In Orlais. Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, maybe it's retconned. Maybe it's just like, oh, well, we might as well just bring these characters back. But the thing is, it's like, why don't they? It's easy writing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, look at that file we had on Zevran. You know, it's just like, bring them back. You know, I don't understand.
The biggest thing for me, I guess, is if, you know, when you're bringing characters back, and they weren't previously romanceable, is why aren't they then romanceable in the next game? Like, Varric wasn't romanceable in Dragon Age 2. Massive upright in Inquisition, still not romanceable. And I get it, he's obviously preserving himself behind... I do get that story and I respect it, but, like, you know, there's a huge upright about dwarves, and people really want to romance dwarves, and people love Varric, and he's an established character in the universe, and he's coming back in Inquisition, and he's still not romanceable, you know? And I'm like, what? Liliana, well, if she wasn't romanceable in Origins, I really wanted to romance her in Inquisition. Gotta say, I really just wanted to say that. And I get it, obviously she's different now and stuff like that, but then you could have had a different romance. You could have had, like, an evil romance, or you could have a different take on that. Or who else returns? I can't even think of that many, because you don't really see that many.
Well, there's a question for the comments. Like, if it was a series...
In the Inquisition army, I'm not talking about...
Would you romance then?
Yeah, yeah.
If Dragon Age was a series...
Who would you continually romance?
Who would you continually romance? And who is their protagonist that is...
Who was the ongoing protagonist?
Yeah. Obviously, Hero Ferelden's
probably the Warden.
But
Morgan, Liliana, you know.
If it could be, really. It could be any of them, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You could have the Inquisitor as the Warden here for Ferelden, and then you could have Hawk as the same thing.
Yeah, both of them. You could.
And Warden, obviously, is
And then the Inquisition, too. The Inquisitor never existing in the first book, whatever. You could
just get into that kind of... Oh, yeah, they all kind of... Because technically, they're all kind of interlaced with each other.
They are, yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, isn't the Amale family pretty close?
The male Major Mel in Origins is obviously related to Hawk's mother. What's she called? They've been saying a lot of negative things about how Inquisition's... How Dragon Age is anthological, and how, obviously, the romances can be, obviously, individual to that game. But actually, that can also be a good thing. And a contrast to Mass Effect, because obviously you wouldn't get romances like Solas, for instance. You wouldn't get romances where, like Morrigan or like Anders, where, you know, you can romance these characters who are tragically have this forthcoming narrative where they're going to leave you, they're going to blow up the Chantry, or they're going to inevitably try and blow up the world. You know, so like, that is actually a different thing that Dragon Age does that we can respect, you know, annoying.
Yeah. It sheds light on different perspectives and
different romances.
I get that. It's just cool to delve into, like, oh man, you know, that was a series.
Yeah, and having that romance
would have been great.
And having it build up, I guess, from the start. You know, they were going to do it from the very start of the first game, and it's the third game now, and they were doing that. And what, you know, that's really cool. But again, Inquisition does allow those very different romances. And actually, each game we can have a very complex new character. And I know that obviously I'm like, oh well, I really want all characters, but. That's the thing about Dragon Age, is we do get a lot of new things up and coming. And again, it's a good and bad thing. For me as an OG player, I'm like, well, I want to see old characters back, like Shale, like Wynn, and like Alistair, and like you know, like I want to see Isabella come back, and I want to see this person, and this person, this person.
Yeah, you want to see all those characters.
And I know that's kind of, you know, pandering towards the fandom. But then again, we get those new characters and new romances and, you know, distinguishable fresh, things that we want, fresh things. So it's a good and bad thing, you know. And as a BioWare fan, I'm fickle. And I can, you know, claim that I'm fickle and I want new things and I want old things at the same time. So, you know, I can be hypocritical. But yeah, like, I do see it as a good and a bad thing that Dragon Age is anthological. I love the feels of Mass Effect and I'd like that for Dragon Age. But then we get unique things in Dragon Age. We get Solas's romance. We get different takes on romances. And, you know, each game, we, as opposed to getting more of that character, we get a new character completely to fall in love with or to at least admire.
A new canvas, I guess.
The only thing for me is, in Inquisition, I didn't find a character that I really loved. And for Mass Effect, that was Miranda.
Cool.
No, I mean in terms of, like, feeling attached to so much that I can't wait to experience again in the next game, guaranteed. Thinking about Miranda is, I know that she was going to be a Mass Effect 3. I knew that I was going to have that attachment. I knew that that romance was going to continue. Same with Ashley. I know that romance is going to continue.
And that's the thing, because they... Liara. That's because they have that detachment off of characters reoccurring, except...
Yeah.
Solas, really.
Yeah. You know Solas. You know Dorian's going to be in, but it's going to be a tiny bit with the Inquisitor. That's the thing where Inquisition... I loved my romances. I loved Josephine. I loved, you know, Cassandra in some elements. I loved those romances. But I wasn't attached to them like I was with Ashley, Liara, Miranda, Jack.
Do you think it's because of the series?
I think it's because of the fact that I didn't get enough time to really, you know, build that attachment. Because in Mass Effect, you get so many opportunities to experience that character. You get free games. And you get DLCs on top of that.
Yeah.
You get to really attach yourself to the characters. In Dragon Age Inquisition, you get, a couple of scenes with Josephine to really build that romance up. And then it's like, okay, cool, I'm romancing her now. And, you know, and then the next game, it's like, okay, so now I don't know where she is. You know? That's personally for me. Like, in Mass Effect, you get to really just experience that romance. 1, 2, and 3. You know? And then... In Inquisition, it's just, okay, I get to really romance this character for one game, and that's really it.
So here's a question. Do you think that a romance can be fulfilled in one game?
That's a good question. And yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I really do. It's just that in Mass Effect, it's the entire series. It's up until Shepard's death, or not if you don't do that. You know what I mean? It's up until that very point where the series is ended.
Yeah, you know, but of course you're going to get that attachment because it is 3 games and it is your same character again. You're getting more attached to your character for one.
Yeah.
And then obviously your romance or just in the plot in general.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing with Dragon Age. It's you get intense. I would say everybody who's played Dragon Age is so intense with the plot because that, for sure, is definitely what keeps people going. Keeps people like, wow, you know. I can't wait for the next game.
Yeah.
Because especially with this narrative, it's like a pyramid kind of scenario.
It's
all led to this person.
Even more intense. And you're like, even more intense. You know? Yeah. If you look at Origins, you couldn't see where the narrative was going. But the lore was there. You could learn about the Dread Wolf. You could learn about, you know,
I think the first game, though, was just to introduce the lore.
Yeah, it was. Origins, you know.
I just hope my romance ends right.
Yeah.
Not ends in a way that I didn't expect. I mean, it might. Obviously, I didn't expect, to sell the Lavelle and dying or something. Well, now I expect it. But, you know what I'm saying? Just like, because I just like connected so much with my character and obviously the Solas. So I was like, just nervous, you know?
Yeah.
Not going to be implemented more.
Well, what they can do is they could, if they did, they could give the Inquisitor another dialogue wheel. And you could choose what they say from there.
Oof.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know how they could do that. But they could try and give you, you know, the option to say this all out with the Inquisitor as also a new protagonist, which would be clunky, but they could do it right. Unless, you know, you play as the Inquisitor in a different scene, and then you play as your new protagonist in a different scene, and they mesh it up in a way where they do it differently, and then you can obviously clearly play as one character playing as the other. But I don't know.
And I know recently there's been a tweet over their narration or something they've been working on.
Yeah, there are meetings and stuff like that.
So there's meetings, guys, on Dragon Age, probably. Most likely. I mean, they're all the team of Dragon Age. Patrick Weeks and John Epler might be talking about how the story's going to go then. Probably already done that. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm nervous about, at least. That they won't do it well. Just there might be some things left out. I'm like, good thing there's fan fiction, so kind of filled that void of maybe different narratives.
So you definitely, obviously, you want to see that romance of Solas end just in the most positive way that BioWare can handle. And obviously, there's a lot of technical implications around that. You just would like it, obviously, to be held in a way
positive,
where obviously
technically positive, not technically not possible. Like, I don't care about Lavelle dying.
No, but
for
technically
Solas,
possible,
but
like, in terms of how they dealt with Hawk, was they kind of rushed it.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, they wanted to get it done. They wanted to, you know, see if they could do it, see if they could work out. They can, but also they need to make sure that they work on the game quickly. So they kind of rushed it a bit, and you were like, okay, that wasn't really satisfying with Hawk. You wanted to be satisfied with the Inquisitor, which I'm sure they will definitely be working, especially with Solavelle. I can see them really hammering that down. But of course, it is a wild thing about technology, because obviously, I was looking at Weeks' tweets the other day, and they were tweeting about Solas being able to transform into a wolf. And they would totally do that in Inquisition, it's just that the engine was limited for that, you know? And again, The thing, reason why Inquisition was held down technically was because they let it out on previous generation consoles. That's Xbox 360 and PS3. So for Dragon Age 4, it's not going to be an issue. They'll be holding it down for Xbox One and PS4, which is going to be absolutely fine regarding the technology aspect. So I really think that they'll be upping their game now. They'll be upping their game on the technology on all things concerning the Inquisitor returning and romance. Romance scenes, the graphics, everything. I really feel I'll be upping their game now on. Because look at the competition around them. The Witcher 3 has since came out. Games like God of War now, where they're rivaling that kind of similar story. Games that are, you know, really upping the advancement on. Games that have been known to be single player, linear experiences, and are becoming open world, breathtaking experiences like Zelda. You know, Mass Effect Andromeda was flagged because it came out in between Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda Breath of the Wild. Both of those, very RPG open world. And Andromeda was completely flagged for lacking anything similar to those games because, of course, those games beat it by a mile. So Dragon Age, BioWare right now are very aware of what they're needing to do for their RPG games, for what they need to do for Dragon Age. So the technology is going to be there. We're just going to have to see how they really develop that, evolve that, because we're in a new generation of RPGs now. Most games are looking to do open world RPG single play experiences. Dragon Age 4 is going to be a live service role playing game. The technology is going to be there. We're just going to have to see how they're going to handle it. They've got a lot of competition and they really need to up themselves to really just redeem BioWare, redeem the Dragon Age franchise, because a lot of people still, just to this day, hate on it. So they need to make a Janis Joplin of a video game, as they say.
I agree.
So speaking on that, let's talk into what romances we'd like to see for Dragon Age 4. Given the technology is going to be there, given our wildest dreams of what we can potentially come up with, what would we like to see, Sari? You go first. You know, we've talked about how you've heard our expectations of what we've come to know from BioWare. What's wowed us, what we've fallen in love with, of the attributes of Solas and the attributes of Miranda Lawson. What we really like from BioWare characters. Now, how can they do the flip on us? How can they create new characters that actually can be totally different to what we expect?
See, that's the thing. Like, at least part of me last year did think that, oh man, you know, I'm just kind of keen on Solas, really.
Yeah. You know what? That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but that was last year.
Oh, that was 2018.
Yay.
Now it's 2019. No,
I'm just kidding. But, you know, I didn't really think about it. But lately that question is kind of lingering.
Oh, okay. Because,
you know, I talked about, obviously, 20 minutes ago about the whole thing with the technicalities of it and just making sure that it's okay, but it's also going to be heart-wrenching. Well, then, why can't there just be, at least for the new protagonist, I'm just going to keep it safe there and say there is going to be one.
Yeah.
That there is, at least for me, I'm more interested in hetero, so it would be a guy, preferably, that is very committed.
Okay.
And, granted, we have Alistair that is, and Colin Pretty is, and,
Seeing a pattern, blonde.
Yeah, I know, it's a pattern. Maybe they should have a canary or something. You know, something that's different.
I've got some fun.
What if it's Varric? And, like, he's committed.
That would be nice.
Somebody that's, like, kind of cool, like Varric, you know?
Varric is so swag and cool.
Or maybe young. Like, maybe, like, a Zevran with Varric together. That's, like quirky, funny.
Okay.
But, like, makes the jokes, right?
Yeah.
Kind of smooth.
Yeah.
And then also, like, very, but also has kind of, like, a humane part of what, like, Varric is. Like, he does regret things. He's not happy about certain things. He doesn't know how to, like, change.
Even though he's a dwarf.
But, like, you can make him change.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of romance dynamic.
That's nice.
Where he is pretty, like, nah, like, I'm very committed to you. Or, like, not, like, in a way that you devoted, like, oh, yeah.
You're a god, but just like that.
But more in a sense that, like, you're amazing.
You're amazing. You're my best friend. You're
something very, very relatable, maybe. Yeah.
Varric's relatable. He's like your best bud. He's like you'd go for drinks with him in a pub, or you'd meet up with him to hang out, or you'd play games with him, or you'd just talk to him about whatever. He's a relatable person, and, you know, he's just like a best friend. He's like,
and that's the thing, like,
Garrus.
I think some of the romances, I'm not going to name some of them, in Dragon Age.
Now I'm intrigued.
Their narrative is way too higher than their romance, which is okay.
Hit me. Come on, I need an example.
Anders.
Okay, yeah.
I just can't relate to his, because his is, like, he's mages over you.
Yeah.
So, I get it, because he has that plot of Tantri bombing.
Yeah.
But, But, like, it turned me off completely.
Right.
As a person that was going to romance Anders.
Yeah.
Turned me off.
Right.
Absolutely. Not because he was bombing the Chantry. I didn't care about that. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, I
let I heard die.
About it. I obviously heard about it in Inquisition.
Yeah.
So, I know what is happening there. But, like, I don't care. I'll romance him. Like, I just want to see what he's like.
Yeah.
Because he looks cool. I mean, he's a blonde. You know. Obviously going off to those blonde. I have a trend. I have a type, guys.
I don't have blonde hair.
Oops. But, yeah. So, for him to have, like, oh, mages, da 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 da, I was like, wait, I was a mage in Inquisition? And, like, yeah, I understand about all that stuff. And I guess if you see it in a high, like, a different game, you kind of understand.
Yeah.
The complications, even though I sided with the mages. And even, I played Origins, because 2 was last. So, I played Origins, and then I was like, mages, yeah, like, I played the Origins, but I don't understand how he feels so persecuted.
Yeah.
Yet he's a warden? Like, what? Like, a warden that gets like, away from the circle?
Yeah.
Is not in it? Like, you can even read in, like, Last Flight. They're not really, like, persecuted, really.
Right, right, right.
So, like, even for race as well.
Yeah.
So, it's like, okay, your point is kind of, like, it seems a little, like...
underwhelming.
Yeah. Because it's just, like, you're a warden, though. He's like, well, I don't like the order either. And it's like,
but you're still a warden.
Yeah, so that's what got me, like, okay, his is, like, way too high to, like, be immersed in it for romance.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
If people think that's, no, I disagree, then comment why. Because, like...
I mean, like, you know, they could say the same about Solas, but that's why he breaks up with you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I guess that's... okay, yeah, that... Mm.
But at least he breaks up with you, do you know what I mean? He calls the romance off, whereas Anders, he just goes and bombs the Chantry.
See, that's the thing, I have to think about that, because, like, at least, I guess, no, I'm just talking about more, yeah, Solas is kind of the same if you think about it a little bit. But I don't know, like, Solas was more like, I liked him lore-wise, I didn't really like him about, like, what he stood for. He didn't care less about what he stand for, but lore-wise, he was like, he knew all his stuff, and I was like, whoa.
He's really smart.
He, like, taught basically the Inquisitor and everybody else, like, about lore that was hidden.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I liked about him. That's the narration I liked.
Hidden knowledge and stuff.
He had hidden knowledge, and he respected those who wanted to learn about it.
He did.
Yeah. Anders was just like, oh, yeah.
I like cats.
Even if you support blood mages and mages in general, I like you.
Yeah.
No, he likes cats. It's fine. But he likes Sir Pounce a lot. But just like, it was just weird. I don't know.
So that doesn't make sense. You want a romance that matches up with the narrative of that character.
Yeah.
That's what The Witcher 3 does perfectly, in my opinion.
Because you can have rivalry romance with him, right?
And you can have a rivalry, yeah.
Huh?
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. That's what we're doing on our stream. And it just doesn't make sense. But... you want one that matches up with the narrative of what they're going to do. You know, you want one that actually makes sense to why this person would, why we'd be in a romance with them, but also what their overarching narrative is, what they're doing in the world and why they exist in the first place. You want the romance to really touch base with that.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to make sense, basically. Yeah. And that's what a lot of characters in Bioware, they don't really make sense as to why they are romanceable or what their overarching story is. And we can romance them anywhere, and when they're going to do this stuff, or when they're doing this weird plot. Like Blackwell, what's the point of romancing Blackwell? He's a Grey Warden. He's just there. He's just in the Inquisition because he wants to be here. Why would you want to romance him? What's his overarching narrative? He's a liar. Like, I don't see any impulse for me to want to romance him. He's not good looking. He's not an interesting character. The reason he becomes interesting when you find out about his story, but even then you're like, whatever, I don't care anymore because you didn't get me in the first place, so now I'm going to get you at all. Like, for me, I get that because I'm like, why would you want to romance him? He's got no luster to him. He's not enigmatic. He's just an idiot. He's a bumbling liar, and I don't see the intrigue in him. I respect a lot of his character, and I like the fact that he has this twist, but he didn't get me in the first 5 seconds of meeting him, so I'm not going to have that, you know, in the next 15 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
Your first impression.
Yeah, yeah. And it, you know, they really did, you know. And then you've got a lot of romances in Inquisition that are kind of just there because they wanted to do them, like Iron Bull. They're there because they figured it'd be funny, and that's hilarious. But I like the things that... I like the romances that are story-centric, that have a purpose, that feel flourishing in the world, that have just a connection. I don't want you to just romance them for the sake of romance. So, and that's when it becomes just sex and not romance. Romance isn't just sex. That's why we like romance in Josephine and I, and you like romance in Zonas, because it's a relationship. It's a romance.
It's not really centered.
Even if it does, you don't see it, and it's more about the relationship growth. It's about the two characters building and growing and having a dynamic, and it's not just about, well, we banged. It's more about, you know, we really care about each other. We have this soft spot. We are vulnerable and we have these vulnerable moments and they are really showcased and yeah. we really
well,
like...
Well, Colin, you do. You do bang. And then... Sorry. Spoiler. and... But he's like, I never felt any way with anyone except with you. And it's like, aw.
Yeah, no, nice. No, I know. And Colin isn't just a bang character. It's Iron Bull. It's... Is there anyone else, really? It's mainly just Iron Bull. It's mainly just Iron Bull.
This is Zelbrin. Zevran's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, Zevran.
Zevran's
yeah.
a little Isabella. Bit like that. Later Isabella. On, he's not, but at first it's like that, and it's like, okay, come on.
You've always got that Will Bang character in Dragon Age, it seems. Isabella, Iron Ball, Zevran. You know, and of course we'll have one in Dragon Age 4, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. It's just, I like the narrative there, and I get it. We're two opinions in the Dragon Age community. But it's that narrative there that really makes it more believable, makes it more guaranteed, just makes it feel more immersive. It's that, you know, you don't want just a lackluster character who just wants to bang you. You want a fun, engaging, realistic approach to a romance. Fair enough, we'll have characters that just want to bang multiple times and just want to do it once or just don't want to do it at all. But it's that realistic approach to it. It's that engaging character. It's the fact that we want a creative person. We don't just want a robot that we're just... Yeah. Duh, duh, duh.
And I mean, thank goodness that those bangable characters actually have a backbone to them.
Yeah.
Because like, especially Isabella, now that I think about it, the reason why she does it is because it's kind of touchy because she feels a little bit of a voidness.
Right.
That happened with her and her husband.
Yeah, she does.
Like, yeah, it kind of fills the gap.
Yeah, you know? It does. No, it does. It certainly does. And Iron Bull, obviously, he's a mercenary. He's a freaking canary. He can, you know.
That's his culture.
It's his culture, exactly. He's living under this banner that he really, you know.
They're not, like, really made to procreate. They're just, like, made to, like, release their, like, emotions out by doing that. But then again, that's, like, some of it's, like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So and for other people, they like it, but... For me,
it's just, we're not against that. We just want the characters to have, obviously, an approach to the narrative. Just a good story to the narrative. Their own story, you know? Them to represent
Maybe
something.
Maybe they just need more time, then.
They do.
Not,
they
like, really time do. Of development, but time, like, more time. Because you saw my scenes for Solas, and you're like, but there just doesn't seem like, there's just not much.
Yeah.
You said that to me, I'm like, stop. Because it's like...
Obviously, you have time in the game.
That limited stuff is enough,
There's also
least.
that banter but, as well as you go through the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other scenes, obviously, in the main story. But, like, you know, there's so many romances in Inquisition that maybe if they made lesser ones and put more effort into them. Like, Mass Effect 1 has 4 romances and they're fully fleshed out. And it's just, it's more. Whereas, obviously, if you have loads of romances and less in them, it's like, there's no point. Have, like, 4 main romances have, like, you know... One male straight, one female straight, I don't know, like, work it out in a way, you know, like, Dragon Age 2 did the roll by, and Dragon Age Inquisition does where you've got each and every one of the categories. Have it in a way where it's equal to everyone, every gender, every sexuality, and then just fully flesh them out, do you know? Fully flesh them out so they are written in such a way, worked on quality over quantity. Because in Inquisition, obviously they had more time, so they made Solas and Cullen as a romance. But when you have quality over quantity, and they made that work. They did make that work really well. They, you couldn't tell. Just quality is better than quantity, in my opinion. Where you really just, like Cassandra, perfect example. Cassandra, in the main plot of Inquisition already, there's so much content with her. Being her friend, so much content. So much even more content with her romance. There's so much of Cassandra. You're like basically her best friend in the plot. We're always talking to her, always consulting her, you know, building up that relationship from the very start of the game. And then obviously with the romance, you've got so much with her. And I'm not saying give an equal distribution to that to every single character, because that's impossible. But that level of just fleshed out, it's why Cassandra is one of the best characters to romance in Inquisition, because she is so fleshed out. So I'm just saying that having more quality, it really shows. It really is realistic. It's that approach to romance. It's better. So that's my opinion, you know.
It's a good opinion. I mean, that's a lot to dig in, because it's... They just want something that's fleshed out. It's well done. And so far, they've done good.
They've done really good. They have. It's just some feel rushed. Like, for me, Blackwall. Haven't romanced him, and I know that it's rushed. Iron Bull is... It just seems like they really wanted to do it because it's a canary and they want to have fun. That's great. But as a romance, it doesn't feel that unique. It doesn't feel that fun. It doesn't feel that good. It doesn't feel that engaging. Mm. And then the other ones do. Sarah, Dorian, Cassandra, Josephine, Colin, Solas, they're fleshed out. They're done well. Just...
Blackwell, the bad one. He has a crap ton of development, though.
So we'd like, obviously, again, as I say, just for them to coincide with the narrative and the character. And obviously the romance, just for it to converge. What else would you like in terms of a romance, Dragon Age 4? Or any
like any more?
Anything in particular? Any character? Anything? Any dynamic? What would you like for romance? Or who would you like?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about race right now because I'm like, but I'd be happy with any, really.
Yeah.
Just because I like them all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just really depends. Like, the thing is, are we going to have a lot of limited characters with romance now because of sexuality?
I really hope not. And that's going to be a key thing because so many sexuality.
Yeah, because I'm like, I would have loved a couple of straight characters, but then I'm like, wait.
I guess
there's not going to be room for them.
To identify myself in the LGBT terms as a cis white male, I don't know that many sexualities. That's me being blunt. I know there's heterosexual, there's homosexual, there's pansexual,
bisexual,
there's transsexual, bisexual. That's over five in my hand. And I know that BiWay cannot pander to all of those. I know that they can do straight, bi, homosexual. And I'm hoping that they can just stick to that because it worked. But if we're then getting into the other ones, I really just don't see them having quality over quantity. So for me, I just say do straight, do bi, do gay. That's it. That's what they should do. That's what they should keep at because that's just the three basic ones. Might sound offensive, I'm not trying to be. Just me, my understanding of the term of sexuality. You know, just have it like that. Easily done. Absolutely fine. Everyone can be happy. Everyone can do headcanons or whatever. Just keep it like that. It's all good. It works. I know it's going to be huge drainage for because people like it's going to be woke. People want their trans romances. People want all that. I'm sure it'll have that in there with Mavirus and all that. But we don't need it to be all these different sexualities. Just have it as the three basics.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really up to the writers, I guess. And
they shouldn't overcomplicate it. They really shouldn't. If they do, then...
And the thing is, if you're reaching out with so many things, it's not going to really feel...
It's not going to feel authentic. It's not going to feel good.
Well, I wouldn't say authentic because it is attaching to that specific group, right? But I would say
it can be seen as tokenism or it can be seen as shoehorning it.
Yeah, and it does seem like that. I mean, in general, it just seems like some of it is kind of like, mm-hmm. You know what? That's not really immersive towards...
Mm-hmm.
The lore.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
As for Krem, kind of is. As she's kind of goes to the Chargers because she's not accepted really into Vinter because Vinter is not really okay with that.
Yeah.
And then you also say that with Dorian as well. Vinter's not really okay with that. So I think what they really should stick with is like just relating it back to like history.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do Roman Empire, go more towards that.
Don't go towards modern politics. Like now. Go towards, you know, medieval politics or Roman Empire politics or, you know, those centuries. Don't go towards modern day, you know, we're victimizing and with
let modern day do called. What modern day does.
Just let modern day do that and let's just do what the Roman Catholic, what the term is based on, the Roman Empire. Do what they would do, you know, throw them into a lion chamber or whatever. Don't deal with, you know, this, they call me that so I'm a snowflake. Don't do any of that. Just do, you know, lion cages and, you know, people getting cast out for this and people getting persecuted for that. Do how the Roman Empire would do it. Don't do a modern day twist on it. No one wants that. No one wants that.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't turn out to that. But yeah, I mean, if that's the thing, like I'm scared a little bit for, as a person that's a fan, I'm a little bit scared about how they're going to do that, at least because I don't want to seem privileged as saying like, I kind of want different romance, like I kind of want like a little platter, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like want to see like, oh, maybe I'll try to romance them or them.
Yeah,
but like I don't know, if you just get to romance one, I get it, like because at least for the homosexual one, it was just two people.
It was just
so
two
it's
people.
Like I mean, there's they more did, for bi.
They will always granted, do it equal. They will always do it equal.
Yeah,
they will. I know, it's, hopefully.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. Hopefully, yeah, just do it equally then.
Do two, like, what they did in Inquisition, two straight, two homosexual, two bi. It's like as you four, no, I know, and then obviously you had more for female elves because they added, so that's actually more.
But yeah, that's race, though.
But yeah, that's why race. But yeah, so that's four, I can't work out right now, but yeah, they did a lot, they did a lot.
Yeah, they
so
made it pretty even with sexuality.
They did. For Andromeda, you had Cora, PB, Jal, for Cora, straight, PB, straight, Jal, bi, Vetra, bi, Liam, straight, Reyes for female, Reyes by, sorry, Gil Gay, and then that Angara woman by. So that was about eight romances there. Oh, and Suvi Gay. Nine romances, that was basically equally distributed again. So they're equally distributing it. We got more straight there. We did get more straight. We've always seemingly had more straight romances. Don't know what they'll do, honestly. Don't know what they'll do. They had more in Inquisition, Solas, Cullen, Blackwall, Cassandra.
Yeah.
Feel like there's one more, but I can't tell. But that's four against, you know, two bi, two gay. So we'll just have to see. But I really think that they'll stick to their roots of just doing what they do and making sure it's equally distributed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would just really like one that's, like, just committed then. Yeah, I just want one. I'd rather be, like, more open-minded than...
I would rather have quality over quantity any day of the week.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity. Having a really good one that I can really just really
get into. Again, it's up to social, like, not social, personal preference.
It is.
Because, like, oh, man, I won't like a person that's this. Like, okay, well, you know what? I'll just be open-minded and think about it. And you actually might like it.
Exactly.
At least for me, I was like, oh, man, I didn't want to romance that person. Well... Let me just give it a try. I'll go for
Colin. Oh, wait, no. Like, for me. Oh, yeah, I'll go for Cassandra. Did Cassandra? No, I want Josephine. Do you know what I mean? I really want Josephine. And I did.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I want Colin. I'm like, oh, what? Let me try Solas first. And yeah. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Bye.
So, like, that's the thing. I'll always just get in bed with an idea of Cassandra, this person. Vaya. Actually, I really like that person over there, you know what I mean? So that's what BioWare's intrigue is. They get that in the head. Like, oh, damn. Like, I even had that in Andromeda. I was like, PB or Cora. I'll go with Cora first and I'll do PB, you know what I mean? So they do that really well, I think. So, hey, I'll have my heart set on someone for Dragon Age 4. I had my heart set on Olivia Pryde just last week, you know? And now I'm like, Leia or someone else. So, again, like I said, I'm fickle. I'm a fickle BioWare fan.
You cling to other things.
So, literally, when I get in Dragon Age 4, I'll be like, this person. Actually. So, I'm looking forward to that. I really can't for that. So, in terms of what I expect for a romance Dragon Age 4, obviously, I've talked about loads of things. Dates, skinny love relationships, dwarf. Let's talk about dwarves in a second. But, obviously, Scout Harding. I would love Scout Harding. Make her a bi romance. Because that just lets everyone who hasn't experienced her. Let's have Scout Lace Harding by for everyone to experience a romance with her. Let's have some dwarven love. Of course, I talked about that in my video. So if you want to hear about that, I've just done my vlog video on it. But yeah, let's have some dwarven love in Dragon Age 4. I really want a cute dwarf and female.
Yeah.
I loved Dagna, all for the win, Pinkquisition. Loved Lace Harding. Volta's too weird. She's got that weird Titan thing going on. And I really wanted a cute dwarf. I really want a nice, cute, ideal looking companion. So she could be like a Shaperette, or she can have like really cool like ruin abilities. So she's actually more of a mage where she uses ruins, or she uses like, you know, that stone that Sandal uses. Or she has Lyrium powers, like being a Warken like Valta. Something like that, where she has these magical capabilities, or she has really cool mechanics like a crossbow or like a mechanical weapon. Something really cool, and she's this mechanic kind of character where she's always working on things and she's really crazy and cool and just a cute little character working on like inventions and crazy cool things like Dagna was. But, you know, even more crazy cute and cool. And, like, she's always making things for the Inquisition or for the new protagonist. Maybe she even makes the Inquisitor a new arm. And, you know, we get to see that and it's really cute. And just a really cute little dwarf. It's working in a little area, always working on cute things. And then, like, we go talk to her and she bumps her head on, like, a mechanical horse or whatever she's working on. And then, you know, she's making, like, a thing for her griffin. And she's just a cute dwarf, you know. Like, it's that simple. Sorry, I just want a cute dwarf
to romance. Female sandal.
Yeah. What would she say instead of enchantment?
Romance.
No.
Dreadwolf.
No.
Griffin.
Yeah.
Griffin.
Yeah. But I'd like her to be a bit more intelligent so we can at least have a conversation. But that's, I'd love that, you know. And then Scout Harding, you know, Bianca. She's married, but she's always going in between.
Bianca?
Yeah.
No. No one likes Bianca.
I like Bianca. No.
No.
Laura Bailey for the win. What about Varric? Where's the romance of Varric? Everyone wants that. I could see a romance.
I would love romance with Varric. I would romance Varric so quickly.
I could see the romance scene like being in a bath.
If it was in DA4 and I was announced, I'd be like, yeah, Varric. Sorry.
Bye. Dwarf love.
I would be a dwarf. I'd be like, whatever.
I would be a dwarf.
Whatever.
Honestly, I've never played as a dwarf unless on our recent streams. And I would just go straight for a dwarf for us, literally for Scout Harding. I would go dwarf straight away. First playthrough, dwarf, Scout Harding. That'd be funny. Or I'd be like a Qunari and have a really weird relationship going on. Speaking of which, Qunari female. Okay. Ooh. My ideal Qunari female, a nice, soft Talvishoff, or not even related to the Qun. But actually not like a beast, not like what's she called? Vinasala. Nice character. More like advisory, more like Win, you know, nice, soft, not old, but just not like wise. What we expect. Because obviously when we see Kunari, they're all evil. Have a nice, soft-spoken Kunari who's cute and eloquent and actually quite shy.
Like a Vivian.
Yeah, but shy.
Vivian Wynn.
More like Vetra in Andromeda, but more shy. No, oh. But shy. I want her to be shy, so she's got soft, she's eloquent, but she's actually shy.
Aww.
And she could be a mage.
A shy Kunari, we haven't seen that yet.
Exactly. And I'd love a romance for that. Pull her horns. Mount her!
Like a bull!
Exactly, because she is... No, I was joking. And then other characters, Veya. I really would love to romance my elven squire. I love elves. I've come to find when romancing Sarah, I love elves. I like to romance an elf. I want to romance Saria for Dragon Age 4. But no, I really... I like elves. I don't know why. I never... I don't even realise. I'm normally for Liliana. So like, you know, Miranda. And now I'm like, elves. Elves. So Veya, please. I really love Veya. Lovely investment of a character. Origin story is on point. So if BioWare could just put Veya as a companion in Dragon Age 4 with a romance. Veya's straight. From what I know, she flirts with Sebastian. She likes her chance with boys. That means I have a chance. But no, I would love to romance Veya. That would be top notch. Other characters, I would say Kalyx Quintara could be a romance option. Marius. Tess is already locked
I like
in.
Kalyx
is really cool. Upcoming ones, I know Maverice Delaney will be huge for a romance option, but she had a husband and she's a widow. She had a husband and a widow, so I think that she's actually not going to be romanceable. I think she'll be an advisor.
Well, that might piss off a lot of people.
They're going to be pissed because she's a widow. I don't think she wants to get romance. Dorian's already going to be in a long distance of the Inquisitor or not romanceable because of that. And then on... Obviously, upcoming characters. I don't
know. Solas won't be. Sorry, guys.
They need to fix Llewellyn.
Even Llewellyn. Just the antagonist.
Yeah.
Just can't romance the antagonist. Although, that would be absolutely hilarious. I wonder if Patrick Weeks would ever do that. Doggy. Just like, quickly write in a quick romance and it happens to be like some weird person, but actually happens to be like a disguise of Solas or something.
That'd be funny.
That'd be hilarious.
And then I guess returning characters who you could romance. You couldn't romance Varric in Inquisition or two, making a romance by Dragon Age 4. That'd be awesome. Who else could return and be romanceable? Dagon is already in a relationship with Sarah by the end of Inquisition or Trespasser, so you can't.
Widow. Oh, that's a good question.
I guess it's new characters from here on out, really, in terms of romance. I really think it's new characters. I don't think there's anyone lurking. Ogryn, maybe? I don't know.
That'd be lit.
That was funny. I don't actually think there's any lurking characters in Dragon Age who have been companions or existing big roles that you could really bring back as romances now.
And the thing is that you're probably going to Devinter, so it's like...
There's gonna
these people are actually going to go to Devinter.
It's going
to
be
probably
even
not.
More new.
Yeah,
new,
very
you know?
New.
Everything will be new now. You know, at least in, obviously, Inquisition, we were in Ferelden. We were in Orle. Now it's all new from
Devinter. It's going to be new characters in completely, I think.
It will be. Be like
if we see some returning guys, I'll be like, oh, you're gonna have... yeah! Because there'll be so many new characters.
Yeah.
I'll be like, what?
There'll be people who'll be getting into Dragon Age 4 for the first time, and it'll be their first experience. It'll be literally like going into a new game, because Dragon Age 4 is going to be completely new from
Dragon Age 4. Oh, yeah, I just said Sebastian.
Sebastian will be good.
Yeah.
Sebastian will be good. Yes, yes, please.
I remember saying about that.
Sebastian will be good. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good. You know. And obviously there's loads of characters that can return, like Fenris, like Marius. But as romances, not sure. Fenris is obviously of Hawk or not. So again, they would have complications there. But you know, I would love a dwarf female, a Kunari, or an elf, honestly. Even just a human. You know, humans are cool. I romance humans a lot. But no, I think for Dragon Age 4, I'm really for Veya. Or for a dwarf female. Like, when they upgrade the engine, when they get better hairstyles, when they get good-looking characters, if they can make a really good-looking dwarf female, then I'm all for that. Or a good-looking elf, Veya. You know, just getting Veya in the game, I'd be totally all for that. Really would, really. Just Veya, please. Just, yeah. I really want to run with Veya.
Just please.
I really, really, really do. I like, literally have my heart set on Veya right now.
Aww.
We're going to Devinter, and that's the place of slaves, blood magic... My mages, so I guess we should be expecting chains, whips, cages. Is that good to expect? To assume for a romance? You know, my shy female Kunari.
I'm a slave for you.
Maybe like the shy female Kunari actually has as an alter ego in like romance and like in the bed. And it's like,
and he's an he would grab her horns.
Exactly.
Gotta calm her down like you do with your dog. Calm down.
Calm down. No, no. But honestly, do you actually think that Solavellan will be redeemed in Dragon Age 4?
I think it will end in a way that Solas's fear will not happen.
Oh, which is dying alone. That's sad. Oh, it's Saria with him. Howling together. Can she turn into a wolf?
Maybe. I mean, she has Fenherald's anchor. Well, did. Like, maybe she... What if, like, the Inquisitor got a new power? Like, you know, has the rift of all, like, all these other things. But what if it was, like, turning into a wolf? And then, like, a Dalish would be like, my goodness, I can turn into the Dreadwolf. And then Solas is like...
What the heck?
He's, like, holding back. It would be so funny. But I don't know.
You feel like they could die alone together.
Yeah, they are going to, like, die. Like,
that's why you just gotta crack the egg.
He's so close to, like, killing Solas.
Crack the egg, man. Crack.
He's so close to killing Solas, and then he, like, basically dies, and then Lavellan basically is like, no, you know, like, where they save the person by getting the gunshot themselves. Like, if that's what's gonna happen, it's gonna, like, kill Lavellan first, and then Solas gonna be like, no.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Do they have Chucky eggs in Northern Duinda?
Chucky eggs?
Yeah.
No.
What a chucky egg is when you hard boil the egg, you cut the top of it open, you get bread, you toast the bread, you put butter on the bread, and then you cut it into like six.
You like dip it.
And then you dip it in the chucky egg.
That's what
I'm going to do to Solas while you're doing all of this romancing. Just get some bread, crack open his head, and then have a chucky egg.
You're going to crack the egg.
Yeah, I'm going to crack the egg. I really want to redeem him. I really do. But for a first playthrough, I'm going in with the intention of chucky egg in that Dreadwolf. I really want to see what that's going to be like. You know, I built my Inquisition in a way where it's still there. I sided with the Grey Wardens. I sided with the Templars. I feel like I've built my army in a way that actually is going to be good at kind of defeating the wolf, or at least being against a wolf. So actually I can kind of hopefully kill him, or at least do something like that. But I suppose that's actually a different topic for another podcast where we can talk about redeeming or killing him, or we can tip on that. But hey guys, this has been our little V-Day romancing little chitty-chat on this love-centric day.
Yeah.
We're all for romancing Solas or bashing his head in and making French toast. And we're all for elves and Qunari and dwarves, basically non-human romances that hopefully are going to be equally distributed. And of course, we all know that Mass Effect is better romances than Dragon Age, just my opinion. Oof. But no, guys, hey, hope you're having an awesome Valentine's Day, and whatever day you're listening to this on, I hope that y'all are just spending time with, you know, ones you love, either digitally or physically. Wish you the very best of days. But hey, guys, I have been Saria.
I have been Jekta.
I did actually not mean to do that. That was a complete accident. But until the next one, we should go! Kill Solas.
Something wrong with your tea?
It is tea.